Our text for this morning consists of two verses. One verse here, namely the verse 3 in Revelation 22, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And then over in chapter 7, there we read regarding those who will once again be in heaven and the work that they will do there. Verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So we have two verses from the book of the Revelations, which tells us about our work in heaven. We shall serve him. We shall serve the Lord in heaven. Now, regarding his revelation of Jesus Christ, John, from time to time, would write these words. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me. You can read through Revelation, you'll come across that phrase regularly. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me. And on one of those occasions, the voice from heaven said this. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, verse 13. To die in the Lord. That is a phrase that describes the death of the Christian. Whenever a Christian falls asleep in Christ, they die in the Lord. And they go home to be with the Lord. And so according to this voice from heaven, when the child of God dies, he shall rest from their labors. Certainly they will not labor anymore, nor serve anymore this side of eternity. Those labors will be over. And we will go to heaven to rest from those labors. For when the place that knows us now will know us no more forever, then our work on earth will be done. This brings home to us the need for us then to redeem the time. As Solomon informs us in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. We cannot do any work for the Lord when we're in the grave, Solomon is saying. And so we must work for the Lord now, while there is breath in our lungs and we have the ability to serve the Lord. So when we as Christians are called away home, and our work on earth is finished. I wonder what we will have accomplished for the Lord and for eternity when our eyelids close in death. Will we have accomplished anything for the Lord? What will we have done for God? Witness to led any souls to Christ? Will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening, when the sun goeth down, it is good for that man who dies in the Lord, but it is a tragedy for that man who dies without the Lord. For in Revelation 14, there in verse 10, we read, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have," listen, "they have no rest, day nor night." Remember what the Lord said during his earthly ministry. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Those who die without the Lord will have no rest. And it happens to be the same word. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But those who die without Christ, never having known Christ, will spend all eternity without that rest that was offered to them in the gospel in time. They'll not have rest. Indeed, they will be restless throughout the countless ages of a lost eternity. That's what the Bible tells us about those who die without Christ. Does that mean then, when the child of God is called home to be with the Lord and we enter into our rest, the rest that Christ has given to us, that we will spend all eternity then doing nothing? Will we spend those countless ages of eternity just doing nothing? No, not so. No death may take us away from our earthly labors, but we will only be called to a higher service, and we'll be engaged in eternal labors. Something we may not have thought about, being engaged in service in heaven. But John reveals that this saint of God will most definitely be employed in the Lord's service in heaven. We've read the text in Revelation 7:15, and here in Revelation 22 and verse 3 we read, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him." So that's clear. We will serve the Lord in heaven. So let us learn a little bit more about this service that we will be engaged in. Let us learn a little bit more about our work in heaven. What will it be? What will it be like to serve the Lord in heaven? First of all, we want to consider the Christian's field of service in heaven. The Apostle Paul informs us that it behoves every Christian, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. So it behoves every child of God, every man, every woman, every young person who claims to know the Savior, who claims to be a Christian, it is commanded of God that we all find out what the will of God is for our lives. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is? Do we know then that we're in the will of God now? Have we sought the mind of God? Maybe there's something the Lord wants us to do. Maybe there's some service the Lord wants us to be involved in and engage ourselves in. But we have never sought the Lord to find out what that service may be. And we can spend our days and we can go through our whole life and we will miss out with God if we do not find out what His will is and we have neglected to do that will. That is especially true for everyone who is engaged in the service of the Lord, to make sure they know that they're in the center of God's will. Whether missionaries or ministers of the gospel or others who engaged in other fields of service doing a work for the Lord, we must know we're in the center of God's will. It's not the first time that someone has misunderstood the will and the calling of God regarding where they are to serve the Lord. And they've gone forth, and in a very short time they've realized they've misread the will of God. I should say in passing, I do not look down on that person. I will not criticize or condemn that person. At least they were willing to go. They may have made a mistake with regard to their field of service and made a mistake regarding the will of God for their life, but at least they were willing to go. And I admire them for that. In Isaiah chapter 6, those well-known verses, the prophet knew what the will of God was for his life. Isaiah 6, we read in verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, we need to get the word from the Lord as to where the Lord would have us serve. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go. We need to get the go from the Lord. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. The Lord doesn't always call us into some glamorous field of service. You read the rest of those words about Isaiah and the call of God. And he asked the Lord in verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That's a ministry to be called to. He was called to minister the word until the streets were desolate and until there was nobody in the houses where he had been called to minister. But he still said, here am I, sent me. Philip was another servant of the Lord who went forth in the will of God. In the time of the persecution in Jerusalem, we are told that the apostles went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down into Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. That's a good message, isn't it? You'll not get a better message than that, than preaching Christ. And you know what happened? Philip experienced revival in Samaria. And then after he had led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, we're told that the Spirit called Philip away. And Philip went away according to the will of God. That's important. We can miss out with God. And what a tragedy that would be at the end of our days. We miss out with God because we didn't know what the will of God was for our lives. We didn't bother to find out. With regard to the Christian's field of service, we're told first of all about the place. It was revealed to John just where we will serve the Lord. Yes, in heaven. In Revelation 7, and there in verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. So there's the place. We'll be serving the Lord before his throne and in the temple. The temple is simply another name for heaven. But where is the earthly temple? Why, it's in Jerusalem. Where are we going when we leave this scene of time? We're going higher. And we're going to the new Jerusalem. And as far as the Christian is concerned, we're going to our home place. We're going home to glory soon. To see the city bright. To walk the golden streets of heaven. And bask in God's own light. Yes, we're going home. Heaven is home for the Christian. So that's where we will be serving the Lord. We'll be serving the Lord in our eternal home. Think of that. That is in keeping with the Lord's commandment to his disciples regarding the Great Commission. Didn't the Lord tell them they were to go into all the world? In Acts 1 and verse 8, he told them that they were to wait and tarry at Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, and then they were to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Where were they to start? Jerusalem. That's home. For the disciples, that was home. They were to begin in Jerusalem, then expand out into Judea, then into Samaria, then into the uttermost parts of the earth. Before they went to the uttermost parts of the earth, they had to be a witness for the Lord at home first. They had to begin in Jerusalem. You recall after the Lord delivered Legion from his demons, how Legion came to the Lord and requested, indeed prayed, the word is, that he might be with the Lord, that he might go with the Lord. You know what the Lord told him? Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. See, that's where he was to begin. He was to begin at home. There's no point thinking about serving the Lord in some far off land if you have not served the Lord at home first. Whenever a student for the ministry or a prospective student for the ministry is interviewed by our presbytery, before he comes in and preaches to the presbytery, his minister and the elders of his church are asked a few questions. And one of the questions is, how does this young man in his home church? Does he attend the prayer meetings? Is he a good attender on the Lord's Day? Is he involved in the work and the witness of the church? That's one of the first questions that's asked. Because you see, if he's not involved in his home church, there's no point going anywhere else. You need to start at home first. D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, once met a young man that he traveled with on a train. The young man got into conversation with the great evangelist, and the young man was bubbling over with enthusiasm because of the prospect of him going to Africa and going there to win souls for the Lord. He was all excited about going. Moody listened to him. And then Mr. Moody asked him a very pertinent question. He said, how many souls have you won for Christ at home? And after a brief pause, the young man answered truthfully, I do not know of one soul that I have won for Christ at home. See? He'd been thinking about Africa and he hadn't been thinking about the people on his own doorstep. Maybe in his own family, maybe in his own house. And that's where we must begin, Christian. If we're to serve the Lord, we're to begin at home. Why? When we go to heaven, that's where we'll begin our service, at home. Because heaven is home. So it'll be our home place. It will also be an honored place. We'll be honored to serve the Lord in heaven. You know, whether we serve the Lord here at home or elsewhere, I tell you this, it is an honor. It is an honor to serve the Lord. Wherever it may be, it is an honor to serve the Lord. The greatest honor that could be bestowed upon any man is to serve the Lord. We've repeated the words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon often. Spurgeon, in his lecture to his students, said to them one day, if God has called you to serve Him, then don't stoop to be a king. In other words, Spurgeon was saying it's a greater honor to serve the Lord than to sit on the throne as a king. And I can add my amen to that. It is an honor to serve God. Paul was aware of that when he wrote to Timothy. For in his first letter to Timothy, he said this, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Well, they're solemn words, aren't they? Which was committed to my trust. When God calls us to preach the gospel, He commits His glorious gospel to our trust. We're to look after it well. We're not to water it down. We're not to cut pieces out. Committed the gospel to our trust. And we should guard the gospel and keep it in safekeeping, that we would say $1 million, because the gospel's worth more than $1 million. But Paul goes on to say, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. See? Paul counted it an honor and a privilege to be called of God, to have the gospel of Christ committed to his keeping, and to be counted faithful and put into the ministry. Paul counted that an honor. He was able to say that. Listen. He was able to say that even though he was called upon to suffer for Christ, to sacrifice for Christ, to die for Christ. And yet he still counted it an honor. Even though he is called upon to serve the Lord in many a dark and dangerous place, he says, I thank God. That he enabled me, counted me faithful, and put me into the Paul says, it's an honor. And here we see in Revelation, in 7 and verse 15, that we will serve the Lord, listen, before the throne of God and in His temple. Before the throne of God. What a privilege it would be for any of us to serve before an earthly throne. And in an earthly temple. But to serve the Lord before the very throne in heaven. In the heavenly temple. Is a privilege and an honor beyond equal. Psalm 17 verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. That's where we'll be serving. There's our work in heaven. For that throne in heaven is above all earthly thrones. And it will be our privilege, believer, to serve there. We have the place of service. We also see it will be perpetual service. Revelation 7, verse 15 again. John speaks of those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb as serving Him day and night in the temple. There we can see that our service in heaven will be perpetual. We will serve the Lord night and day. Remember, as we pointed out last week, John is putting into his own words what he saw and what he heard. Do these words not remind us of the words of the Savior when he ministered one day to his disciples? When he said to them, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And here the Lord told his disciples and tells us that our service and work for the Lord may often be interrupted because of nightfall. You're not going to have an open-air meeting at 2 o'clock in the morning in the corner of some street in town. You'll be arrested. And so there are things you are not able to do at night, even though from time to time as a minister of the gospel you receive a phone call in the middle of the night and ask to come quickly to a hospital where a saint or a sinner is nearing eternity and the family want you there, and without hesitation you go. But in the main, night will often interrupt our service and our work for the Lord. But in heaven, there'll be no such interruptions. No impediments. Because Revelation 22, verse 5 says, there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light. And so in heaven, for us, there's no darkness, and there's no dawn. And we will serve the Lord without interruption, without impediment, because there's no night there. Our service for the Lord will be perpetual. What a glorious prospect that is. You notice also the participants in service. We have been told that they who will serve the Lord in heaven are those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So we're washed in the blood. We know then who John is speaking about. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb are those who will serve the Lord in heaven. But in Revelation 22 and verse 3 it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Listen, and His servants shall serve Him. His servants shall serve Him. Tell me, would you call yourself a servant of the Lord? You may not be a missionary. You may not be a minister. You may not be involved in some other full-time work. But you can still serve the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? Because John says that the servants of the Lord will serve Him. You know, you can go through the Bible And you will discover that very few saints were given that title. Give you an example. Genesis 26:24, God says, "My servant Abraham." Numbers 12, verse 7, "My servant Moses." Numbers 14, verse 24, "My servant Caleb." 2 Samuel 3:18, "My servant David." Job 1, verse 8, "My servant Job." Isaiah 44, verse 1, "My servant Jacob." Haggai 2, verse 23, "My servant Zerubbabel." Isaiah 22, verse 20, "My servant Eliakim." 8 people. That's all. Just 8 individuals whom the Lord gave that title to. These are the words of the Lord Himself. "My servant Abraham, my servant Moses, my servant David, my servant Samuel, my servant Caleb, my servant Job, my servant Jacob, my servant Zerubbabel, my servant Eliakim." There's only one other person who was given that title. That one other person is Christ Himself, Zechariah 3, verse 8, "My servant the branch." While every Christian is called upon to serve the Lord in some capacity or other, yet I'm sure we would not include ourselves in that elite company of servants of the Lord who were given the title, "My servant." And yet, we can take heart and we can encourage ourselves. When we get to heaven, we'll be called the servants of the Lord. That title will be given to us. We will join the ranks of the Lord's servants on a higher level than we have ever served the Lord here upon earth. His servants will serve Him. I want you to notice the Christian and their freedom in service. We press through this quickly. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we read there about the curse and the retribution. "In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Cursed is the ground, all because of sin. Now in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, we read about the curse and its removal. For we read in the verse 4 of Revelation 22, or verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse." Now you read Genesis 3, verses 16 and 17, and you'll see what sin brought into the world, and you see what the curse brought into the world. Sorrow. Both verses speaks about sorrow. Sorrow. Sin brought the curse, and the curse brought sorrow. But here John says that in heaven there shall be no more curse. Will that not mean serving the Lord with more freedom? That speaks to us, first of all, of the pleasantness of service. For serving the Lord here brings its fair share of sorrow. In the Psalm 90, we read these words, Psalm 90, and verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Our life is a life of labor and sorrow. When we get to heaven, there'll be no sorrow. Because there is no curse. As a minister of the gospel, they're often called to a home where the angel of death has intruded. You go into a house of sorrow. You go there with your open Bible. You read a portion of Scripture. And you pray that the Lord will bring comfort in a time of sorrow. You will sit with a mother or a father as she weeps over her erring son and her erring daughter. And you try to bring comfort. In my congregation in Newton Abbey, there was a lady there called Mrs. Craig. Dear soul. She had a son called Colin. Mrs. Craig attended all the services as her health permitted. She would never speak to me about her son without weeping, because her son wasn't saved. There may be parents in this service today, and they have often wept because they have a son or a daughter who's not yet saved. In the Lord's work, there are many sorrows to be confronted, but in heaven, there's no curse, therefore there's no sorrow. There we have the pleasantness of service. We'll not have to face sorrow in heaven as we serve the Lord. There's also the pleasures of service. And again, speaking from a personal perspective, I want to say for me it has always been a pleasure to serve my Lord and Master Jesus Christ. I love serving the Lord so much here. You know this? I wish I was starting all over again. I was called into the ministry in 1974, ordained in 1978, and I wish I was back at 1974. I have to confess, I often envy that young minister when I read about him or hear of him and he's called to his first church and he's just starting out. I often think I would like to be starting out again. Because when God calls you, There's nothing else you want to do. I love getting into the study. I love preaching the word. People may not love listening to me, but I love preaching. And I wish I could start again. It's a pleasure to serve the Lord. But how much greater will that pleasure be in heaven? Haven't time to go into all this today, but first of all, there'll be no disappointments. Paul was disappointed with the church at Galatia. Who hath bewitched you, he said. How have you so soon fallen away from the gospel that I preached unto you? He was disappointed. Many disappointments in the Lord's service. There are many discouragements. Think of Elijah. He slew the false prophets of Baal, and once he heard about the threat of Jezebel, he ran away into the wilderness in Beersheba and sat down under a juniper tree and wished he was dead. So discouraged was Elijah. There are many discouragements. Again, quoting C.H. Spurgeon when he spoke to his students, whenever the students get so discouraged, you know, and you just feel like giving up, Spurgeon called those times the minister's fainting fits. And in a ministry, there's many a fainting fit. Paul had his fainting fits. There's no discouragements, there'll be no disappointments, and praise God, there'll be no defeats. Poor John Mark. He wanted to go to be a missionary. And he joined up with Paul and Barnabas. And you read about him in Acts 13. Whenever Paul had to confront a man possessed with the devil and the controversy that surrounded it, John Mark went back home to Jerusalem. He was defeated. But you get to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. And Paul says to Timothy, bring Mark with you, for he's profitable unto me. In other words, the Lord restored Mark, John Mark, and he was back into the ministry again, but he suffered defeat at the beginning. But listen, best of all, when we serve the Lord in heaven, no, there'll be no disappointments, there'll be no discouragements, there'll be no defeats, and glory to God, there'll be no devil. There'll be no devil to hunt us and to hide us and to harass us here, as he does here. It will be a pleasure to serve in heaven. We'll not have the devil to discourage us. We'll not have the devil to disappoint us. We'll not have the devil to defeat us. That's the freedom we'll have to serve the Lord. When we get to heaven, there'll be no discouragements, no disappointments, no defeats, and praise the Lord, no devil. His servants will serve him day and night. There's also the provision for service. For the Lord tells us, or John tells us in Revelation 22, that there shall be no night there, they shall not need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And in Revelation 7, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light in them, nor any heat. The Lord will provide. We know that here. There'll be food and water in heaven. We'll receive a spiritual body, so we'll be receiving spiritual food. We'll not hunger nor thirst in heaven. You can read about Paul. Paul hungered and thirsted while he served the Lord here. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 10 and 11, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 26 and 27. But when we get to heaven, there'll be no hunger, there'll be no thirst. The Lord will feed us. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. The Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. We're feeding on the living bread, we'll be drinking at the fountainhead, and whoso drinketh, Jesus said, shall never thirst. The last place, and I can only give you the points, you have the saints, or the Christians, and their focused service. For there we read in Revelation 7 and verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him. There's focus. Revelation 22 verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve. We'll serve the Lamb. We shall serve Him. And then in our service we have the look. What is the look? Verse 4 of Revelation 22, and they shall see us. Sell clothes. Have you ever thought about what it'll be like to see Christ? We see Him now by faith, but what will it be like to see Him? There's a thought, it's always in my heart, when it comes to meditating upon actually seeing the Lord. That thought summed up in the words of a hymn written by Grace Reese Adkins. This is what she wrote. By and by when I look on His face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on His face, I wish I had given Him more. More of my life than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on His face, I wish I had given Him more. By and by, when He holds out His hands, welcoming hands, kneel riven hands. By and by when He holds out His hands, I'll wish I had given Him more. More, so much more. More of my love. More of my love than e'er I gave before. By and by when He holds out His hands, I'll wish I had given Him more. In the light of that heavenly place, light from His face, beautiful face, in the light of that heavenly place, I'll wish I had given Him more. More, so much more. Treasures unbounded for Him I adore. By and by when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. Let's bow in prayer. O loving God and eternal Father, Thou hast called us to serve Thee. We're saved to serve. Help us, O Lord, to engage in the service of God.